Last week, we started a new series of building community, right? And we said, okay, you know, if we could get it done, I mean, we would just like put a construction site in here. I would give everybody a construction hat, and I would tell that person, listen, we're under construction. Have you ever been to a construction site before? Have you ever had construction done in your house before, remodeling or something? I want to tell you a story. When we finally took the step of moving down here to South Florida, I came down to look for a house. And of course, you know, we have a big family. It's six of us, plus the dog, of course. And so I needed to find adequate space for my family. And during that time, it was 2006, the real estate market was still, it was not as bad and rough as it is today. I mean, today you can find a house anywhere. I mean, people are willing to like give you a free month or so for you to move in there. That wasn't the case when we came down. I mean, it was pretty tight. And so I contacted a real estate agent, and they helped me look for a house. And there were two houses that would be suitable for our family, and that was within our budget, right? And I went to the first house and I looked at it, and you know, you start picturing, right, in your head, you know what you have, right? And you start looking at the house and placing stuff, right? That would not go there. And so you start playing that in your head. And that first one just was not suitable. I mean, unless we could get rid of like one of our kids, which we thought about and considered, or get rid of, I mean, a lot of the stuff that we have worked so hard for, it was just not going to do it. So the real estate agent took me to house number two. In house number two, the minute that the door was opened, I got scared because the guy was putting in new tiles and it was a mess. It was a mess. There was stuff all over the place. Dust that was like 3 inches thick. I mean, and the real estate agent is trying to do her best, right, to take me from room to room. And as I'm going through it and navigating through it, I'm looking at the mess and the dust and the chaos, right? But I'm also looking at potential. And so my eyes had to go beyond the dust and the guck and the junk and the chaos in order to see the potential. And in the midst of that, I could see, okay, yeah, that would fit there. And yeah, we don't have to get rid of any of our kids. Not yet. I opened the garage door, all right? And I looked, and it was just like, it was mayhem in there, right? And I said, but yeah, we can get rid of all that junk out of there and put our junk in there. So if you open our garage door, it probably looks the same way that it did when I first visited the house. But you see what I'm trying to get at here? When you're building something, when you are constructing something, sometimes it's not the best, you know, doesn't appear the best. But you have to look at the potential that is behind it. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue this series and look at the potential that God has for each and every one here. Individually, God has a plan for you. I only got one amen. That's good, Kevin. Kevin, you do know that, don't you? God has a plan for Kevin. Oh, we have more people. God has a plan for you too. But also, God has a plan for us collectively. Right? Because we are members of the body of Christ. each of us is a member, and we have a different function and a role that we play within the body of Christ, but we're also part of one body. And so we're going to continue to discover that. Pray with me, please. Lord, we quiet our hearts this morning, and we pray for your mercies, which are new every morning. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to live off of recycled blessings, that we don't have to beg. All we have to do is seek and ask, and you, as our good Heavenly Father, are always there, willing, ready, and able to supply for us all of our needs according to your riches and glory, Lord. And this morning we come to you because we are a desperate people in need to hear your voice. And we ask, oh God, that we would encounter you this day and that our lives would be transformed and changed into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Listen to these verses, and they're probably very familiar to all of us. Found in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says this, "And you know that all things," say all things.
All things.
Not some, but that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Say, I've been called. I've been called for a purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed into the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Say, I'm called. And those he called, he also justified. Say, I've been justified. And those he justified, he also what? You know what that means? You know what that means? What comes to mind when you think of the word glory? In the original language, it's doxa. You know, where we get the word doxology. Doxa. What is glory? Is honor, splendor, majesty. That's what it means. And so when you look at yourself as a child of God, this is how God sees you, as somebody who reflects God's glory. You and I are stars. Did you know that? Now listen to this. Amen. Oh, I got one amen back there. We knew that about you, Andre. There was no doubt in our minds ever. But we're stars. But you know that stars do not radiate any light in and of themselves. They're what? They're mere what? Reflections of some bigger light. That's who you are. And so we read here Paul saying, look, we know this thing. We know that all things, God, it works for good. Look, you may be going through a mess right now. You may be going through some difficulty right now. You may be facing some tough circumstances in your life. But listen, you are God's glory. I am God's glory. We are the reflections of God. Now, have you seen royalty, how royalty is treated? Have you, the king of Spain was down in Miami this past week. And everybody was stripping in order to just show some reverence and respect to the king. What does the king of Spain do anyway anymore? Right? Aren't those monarchies like just symbolic right now? Right? They have they have established governments and, you know, the parliament and then all. They take care of the real stuff, and but they're still symbols of that, right? You are God's chosen one. I got one, amen. You are God's royal priesthood. God says that you and I are kings and queens. Turn to the person next to you and say, you know what? You're looking at a prince or a princess. Now, I know, listen. I know some of you already knew that, okay? Tell me something new, Pastor, please. I thought you were going to teach us this morning something we didn't know. And listen, as we continue to build this new community, we can do so by building each other up and growing together in that belief. And that's what we're going to do. How do we do that? How do we help each other grow in the Lord? Number one, we do it by affirming each other's worth. That's what I was just trying to say. Each other's worth. The Bible says that you and I were created in the Imago Dei. You know what that means? In the image, in the very likeness of God. So let me ask a question. Why is it that we tear each other down? Why is it that when I see you, I see your faults, and when you see me, you see all my faults and warts and mess, instead of seeing God in me and me seeing God in you? Our duty, friends, our duty is to look at each other as God looks at each of us. We have to affirm each other's worth every single day. How do we do that? We do that by accepting one another with acceptance. The book of Romans says this: accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. That's a tall order, isn't it? That's a big responsibility. Because we sometimes forget the fact that, you know, we are to treat each other as God has first treated us. There's a sense of responsibility there. There's a sense of, I owe God this, and God is asking me to do this, and God has been so good to me, and God has blessed me with all of this. My duty and my responsibility and my answer to that should be to give out of that love, to give out of that acceptance, to embrace out of that sense of worth that God has placed on me. But the reality is that we do not accept each other sometimes. Oh, we're religious, but we don't accept each other. How fast sometimes are we there, just there in the nick of time to point somebody's fault and to point each other's, you know, mess ups? God is saying here, look, accept one another just like Christ accepted you. When did Christ accept, you know, sometimes, you know, I accepted Christ, right? Listen, I have news flash for you. No, you didn't. Your acceptance, quote unquote, of Christ was a mere reaction of what God was already doing behind the scenes. God, Jesus accepted you. With all your faults and all your messes and all your struggles and all your weaknesses and God looked down and said, I kind of like that boy. I like that girl. That's my property. I don't know about you, but I'm getting goosebumps right now just thinking about it. That God, in all God's majesty and all God's kingdom and all God's power and glory, that God has countless heavenly hosts singing and praising to him day in and day out. And he looked down at the mess we were in, and he looked beyond his majesty and glory, and he saw us just the way we were, and it says, I like him. That's my child. So why can't we accept each other if God already has accepted us? Secondly, we do this, we affirm each other's worth with attention. Now listen, what is the opposite of attention? Ignoring, neglect, right? What else? You know, I love the God story that was shared here this morning, because it shows that there was attention there. Okay? There was attention there. Listen to what Galatians 6:10 says. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Attention. Real attention. Now, why do I say real attention? Because there's a false attention. You know what that means, right? You know what the false attention is? Have you heard it? Well, I'm gonna come and see how my sister's doing. Oh, sister, how are you doing? Please tell me. Oh, really? You're struggling with that? Oh, you know, let me write this down so I can pray for you. Yes. I'm showing attention, right? Yes. Then I got on the phone. Did you know Sister So-and-so is really struggling with this and that and the other? This is between you and me and the Lord, you know, because the Bible says where two or three are gathered in his name and agree on anything, right? So I'm agreeing with you. That's false attention. There's nobody here like that, I know. But, you know, we've heard the stories, right? We've heard the stories. Listen, the Bible here says, Paul really being used of God to say, look, we are to love everybody. That's why we're here on earth, right? That's part of God's plan for Kevin and for each and every one of us, that God has placed us on here for a reason, for a purpose, to do something. But we got to remember that we're part of a team. I love sports. Anybody here love sports? All the guys back there. Right? Ladies like sports too, right? Some. Oh, we have some honest ladies here. But the reason why I like sports is because really and truly, I mean, team sports is all about team. You always hear year after year of these great teams with great stars, but they don't play cohesive as a team, and they never get anywhere. They have somebody who shines, they have somebody who, but they don't go anywhere. They don't win championships. But those teams that are there for each other and they really pay attention to what's going on and they pick the slack of somebody who's probably not feeling 100% at that particular game and give it their all for the sake of that concept that we are a family, that we are a team, that's the way the family of Christ ought to be. That kind of attention. The attention that if somebody didn't show up today, you pick up the phone, not in a judgmental kind of way, but say, hey, listen, we missed you today. I'm going to do that, you know, with some people. I don't see them here today. So I'll pick up the phone and say, "Hey, we missed you." Kind of intimidating sometimes. Right? The pastor calls, "Oh shoot, the pastor's calling me. Why am I in trouble now?" No. Listen, that's the way it ought to be. That's how we affirm each other's worth. I let you know you are important by the attention I give you. I tell my wife how important she is by the attention I give her. I let my children know how important they are by the attention I give them. That's the way it works. Listen, how do we also do this? With affection. What is the opposite of affection? What is the opposite of affection? Listen, I don't know either. That's why I'm asking, right? I mean, as you write, I was thinking about it. I was like, what is the, anybody? Disdain. That's what I was thinking. See, you're a trainer too, aren't you? Yeah, so we're here. Disdain, absolutely disdain. Romans 12:10, you know this verse very well. Be devoted. I love the choice of words here. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Be devoted. Devotion. Spending time. Taking care. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love and honor one another above yourselves. That's tough. I agree with Pastor Trevor. That is tough because we are selfish. We are self-centered. Affection. You're giving it to somebody else. You're putting that person, like we said last week, above you. And last week, you know, I made you do an exercise to close your eyes and think, just envision how this place could be transformed and reach the masses in our community, all because they find in us a people who truly love each other with affection. That's tough. I agree with Pastor Trevor on that. That was tough. But that's the way the Lord wants us to be. How do we affirm each other's worth? Appreciation. 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 Listen, it doesn't cost you anything to go to somebody. Say, you know what, I appreciate you. I think you do a great job. You know, when I see you, I see God, and I see what God is doing through you. Appreciation. It could be a spoken word. It could be a little note. It could be an email. It could be a text. It could be a phone call. It could be flowers. It could be a little card. It could be whatever. Listen, I want to take you out for coffee. Appreciation. This is what the word says. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you. You know what? What is the opposite of appreciation? I'm Trump there too, but what is it? Depreciation. There's a lot of depreciation going on here. That's absolutely right. That's, I like that. You know, appreciation, worth goes up, right? Is that with appreciation? And depreciation, the worth. Hey, you're up to something, Cameron. Write that down. Coin it. That's, yeah. T-shirts. I see T-shirts already. Don't depreciate me. right? Appreciate me, right? But have you noticed that some people just come, you know, and do their thing? You know, we're not judging if you can't make it early or whatever, you know. But people who don't like, my mom used to say, don't lift a finger to do something, but they're quick. I mean, like, quick to criticize people who are doing, oh, those cables are not done right. Did you see that chair? Look at that. Gary, look at that chair. Did you see that chair? That chair is not aligned. That's just not the, quick to criticize, but not quick to what? To do something. Instead of saying, you know what, I appreciate all you do. How can I be of assistance? Am I speaking to anybody here this morning? Yeah, that's tough, isn't it? Right? Do you appreciate what God has done for you? And everybody said, oh, let me see. Okay, hold on a second. Hold on, because I have to have a mental picture of this. So let me. How many of you appreciate what God has done in your lives? Let me see your hands. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, what you've done in my life. So why is it that you're keeping it to yourself? What? Yeah, oops. Right. Oh. Why is it that you're not sharing it? Why aren't you saying, hey, listen, I know that you're going through some stuff, and I don't mean to like jam religion down your throat because that's not my style, but you really have to come for just 1 hour. Come with me. There's a great message taking place, and I think it can help you. I mean, I'm not sure, but you may want to give it a shot. You just shared it. You know somebody and you say, look, I want to share with you what God has done in my life. And the only thing I can do is just, you know, do what God has done in my life. That's how you appreciate. All right, let me move on because I'm running out of time. And that was only point number one. Can you believe that? Woof. Gary, am I speaking next week? Mike is. Mike, you may have to finish my sermon, Mike. All right, number two. We help each other grow by what? Praying for each other's growth. I'm going to go real quick here, okay? Praying for each other's growth. Now, I've heard prayers. I remember growing up in church, a lot of people got up to pray, right? I mean, just pray. And they would get up, right, and just say, Lord! You know? I pray for so-and-so. You know, Lord, work in his life. He's so rebellious. You've heard that. You've heard those kind of phrases. Lord! And you know, those people that speak normal, but when they pray, their voice changes. Right? Oh, Lord. Look at that person over there. Thank God that I'm not like them. But Lord, help them. I remember, listen, this is true. I'm not lying to you. I wouldn't lie to you. There was a guy who prayed once. All right? He wanted people to come to church. And not very far from there was a very, very happening night spot, right? A club with a lot of, you know, dancing and the drinking. You know what that guy prayed? I mean, he would pray, Lord! Let that place catch on fire. And he would make like sound effects and everything. Now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, boom! I am not kidding. Have you ever prayed for your spouse or your significant other? Lord! Kill them. I mean, help that man. No, you're not to pray. You're to pray for that person to grow. To grow. Are you doing it? Are you praying, Lord, I want you to bless so-and-so. Bless so-and-so to the point where that person is just radiating the love of Christ. I pray, Lord, that that individual will come to know you intimately and better. I pray, Lord, I pray with all of my heart that you would sustain so-and-so, that you would encourage so-and-so, that you would just lift their spirits up. That's how you pray for each other's growth. I love seeing the body of Christ at work, and I love seeing when two people, like after the service is done, and you know, see somebody in somewhere, and there's a commotion, and people greet, and two people holding hands, just praying for each other. Let's move on. Let's move on, Cameron. Number three, how do we help each other grow? By admitting our own mistakes. And I know that it's not underlined, but I want you to underline our own mistakes. Because we are quick to admit somebody else's mistakes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 says this, "Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of the body." We have to admit our own mistakes. There's benefits to admitting our own mistakes. Number one, there's emotional healing when we admit our own mistakes. Do you know that? Haven't you gone through something and you know you're wrong? You know that you've messed up, but you're proud and stubborn, and you know, and you have this like weight over you, and you don't feel good, and you know, you want to be right, but when you admit, you know what, I was wrong. There's this like release that happens. It takes a lot to admit our own mistakes, doesn't it? I mean, I've had to go to my children and say, you know, I'm wrong. I stand corrected. My bad. My apologies. It takes a bigger person to admit. There has to be some self-examination, some self-reflection. Carmen and I were watching, I think it was last week, Sunday evening. It was the first time in the whole week that I had time like to sit down and watch something on television. She was watching Trading Spouses, I think is the name. Have you watched that show before? And the one individual, the guy, very, very, I mean, well-to-do individual. He was a self-made man. And he was harsh. He was tough and military, you know, military style at home. And his new, you know, quote unquote spouse saw, you know, a different perspective can mean a lot, right? And so she said, you know, I think that you need to spend some time sitting down and looking, doing some self-examination and coming down with a list of your own faults, because you are quick to point out your kid's faults and everything else that goes wrong. Did you know that he couldn't do it? He couldn't do it. First of all, he refused to do it. Second of all, she was giving all night. She couldn't do it. I mean, he couldn't do it. Then he had to call around. He called his broker. He called his attorney. He had to call people around and says, "Can you please tell me what are my mistakes?" And then he flipped them around and he says, "You know, they're really not mistakes. I mean, people would consider those mistakes, but really, and you, for you, that is not a mistake." They were telling him what he wanted to hear. You cannot have emotional healing unless you admit your own mistakes, admit your own faults. Number two, when you admit your own mistakes, it creates a fresh start. Sounds familiar? Right? We had a few weeks of a fresh start. Number three, when you admit your own mistakes, it gets God's power to change. And lastly, there's deeper fellowship when you admit your own mistakes. There's, you know, when there's no pretense and the, and you don't think, okay, I'm higher than you and I'm look, when you come clean and you let people know, hey, listen, with all my faults, and I'm letting you know I've messed up. I shouldn't have said what I said. I shouldn't have done what I did. I should have been more, you know, more sensitive to that. There's deeper fellowship because you know that you're dealing with somebody who's genuine. There's no fellowship, friends. There is absolutely no fellowship when there is no genuineness in it. There can't be. There can't be. All right, number four. How do we help each other grow? By encouraging each other's commitment. Now listen, it's not saying that you have to tell somebody what to do, but you encourage somebody to do something. Romans 1:12, that we are to mutually encourage each other in the faith. Encourage each other's faith. Mutually do it. How do we do that? We commit each other to loving Jesus. Loving Jesus. But it's just not in words, right? It's not just in words. How many, I've seen people say, I love Jesus, but they're bitter and you know, not very happy people, right? I don't want to love Jesus. I mean, if that's what it means to love Jesus, I don't want to love Jesus. Loving Jesus, committing each other to love Jesus is, look, I'm so on fire for Christ. I am so on fire for this. I believe in it. So I want you to just experience some of that. And you know what? If it's genuine and people see it in you, they say, you know, I kind of want that. I want that. If it's not genuine and it's not real, then people are going to say, it's going to be the reverse, especially when you're dealing with unbelievers. It's going to be the reverse. I don't want your Jesus. I see what Jesus has done for you. I don't want Jesus. I'll find myself another God if I have to, but I don't want Jesus. We commit to love other believers. We said it last week, right? All of the scriptures, all of it, from cover to cover, from Genesis all the way to the book of maps, right? Your Bible has maps, right? From Genesis to the maps can be summed up in you and I ought to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength or might. And then we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. That's it. If you go to my Facebook page, you know, it gives you a spot there for you to say, what is your religious view, right? Your religious view. If you go to mine, you're gonna read this: to love God and to love people. That's it. That's my religious view. To love God and to love people. That's it. Everything else, you know, we'll discuss, we'll talk about it, we'll wrestle with it, but my duty as a disciple of Jesus Christ is to love God and to love people. Love God and love people, all right? We are to love each other as believers. We also have to commit to grow in the knowledge of God. Commit each. I love what takes place. Listen, more of us should be here at 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, what we get here is good too. It's good teaching, hopefully, you know. But we have to encourage each other to grow in our knowledge of God. And you can't get that in a 20-minute, 30-minute. How long have I been speaking? 30 minutes? 40? How long?
39 minutes.
Oh, shoot. All right. So you see what I mean? That proved my point. All right. Moving on. We have to commit to serve in ministry. We are the body of Christ. We've all been given gifts. We are all here for a purpose. We are all under the same roof. We all call this place our home. You know, so why is it that we're not all involved? Something for you to ponder. This is your home. This is your spiritual home. This is your family, right? We heard a God story that this is God's family. And so why is it that you're not getting involved somehow, doing something? Setting up, tearing down, cleaning up, you know, children's ministries, youth ministry, music ministry, you know, inviting somebody, calling somebody, you fill in the blank, what, giving, serving, fill in the blank. What can you do? This is not a spectator sport. I'm serious. Look, how long? Now it's 40 minutes, right, Andre? 41 minutes. All right. I gotta say this. Look, we're not gonna go to the door there and give you one of those foamy finger numbers. We're number one. And like, you know, a little flags, because you're not there to be spectators. This is a training session, right? This is a spiritual training session. We're doing our spiritual calisthenics, right? Because Gary's up here, you know, he does his little thing. All right, everybody, up and down. All right, up and down. That's the calisthenics, right? And then we get nutrition, and I get you to lift some weights, right? And so you're ready to what? To what? To do something with it. Did you do your calisthenics here this morning? Did you eat, you know, this morning? Are you getting the spiritual training? Now it is time to put it to action. You can say you have all the faith in the world, but faith without what? Without works is dead. Am I speaking to anybody here? This is just the sermon. This is the message that God wanted me to bring this morning, okay? Probably it's not that, you know. But this, lastly, okay, and I'm going to end with this. We got to commit to share God's love. Commit to share God's love. I want you to, you know, did you fill the blanks? I want you to close your notes and your Bibles, and I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to stand to your feet, and I want you to hold hands with the person who's to your right and to your left, and I want it to cross, like the aisles here. Okay, so find somebody across the aisle. And I want us this morning. I want you to close your eyes, and I want us this morning to recommit ourselves to the calling that God has placed in our lives of affirming each other's worth, of praying for each other's growth, of admitting our own mistakes, and encouraging each other's commitment. And I want you this morning, right there where you are, holding your brother or sister's hand, to commit yet anew that you will love Christ with all of your heart. Maybe your love for Christ has waned a little bit, has cooled off some. Maybe you need to, you know, as Paul told Timothy to, you know, fan the flame. That right there where you are going to commit to love your brother or sister. That you're going to commit to growing in your knowledge of God. That you're going to commit to serving in this ministry. And that you are going to commit of sharing God's love with family and friends and colleagues through actions and words. Pray with me, Lord. Pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this day and for what you've done in our lives, Lord. And Lord, you've called this church to be a light post, a lighthouse in this community. Lord, we know that what we do is just, we just reflect who you are in your glory. And I pray that we would do so brightly, that we would shine, that the world may see what you're doing here. That indeed, Lord, we would become your body, and that we would do and fulfill the destiny that you've called us to fulfill. I pray for your people. I pray for your church. I pray for what you are doing, what you've done, and what you will continue to do through each hand, through each person that is here today. In Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Amen.